morning, New Life Christian Ministries. Glad we all turned our clocks up and we all got out of bed. And I was feeling a little tired and not with it there until I could feel the Holy Spirit coming on my wife, and that energized me. Praise God for Jesus. Well, if you'd stand for the reading of the Word, we're going to talk about, are you thirsty today? If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 13, it will be on the screen. I hope. I kind of had a run around with the tech people this morning. I told them I was going to fire them all, but they actually don't work here, so I can't really do that. So they told me they would mute me if I didn't straighten up and fly right, but I told them I can shout. Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 13. Love you, tech people. Isaiah 55, 1 through 13. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. You will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, you that may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander to the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish, that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. For surely you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the mighty Jehovah, the everlasting Prince of Peace. Father, we come to worship you this day. Father, give the people ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds to receive your word this day in this hour. Father, I pray there will be great signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of your word today, Lord God. Father, people will be saved. People will be set free. People will be delivered. People will be healed this day in this hour, Lord God. Father, have your way in our hearts now, Lord. Let me speak your very words. And Father, one last thing, Lord. God, let me preach in the power of your Spirit for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Kenny's away today speaking at a Gideon conference. So you want to pray for his traveling mercies. And actually, he was speaking there late last night, so he's probably traveling today. All right, here's my introduction. Water from the rock. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 5 through 7, the Lord answered Moses right in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff in which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called that place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so we see that the Israelites have been walking around in the wilderness, But yet they had the audacity to ask God or say to Moses, is God with us or is he not? Well, if they didn't thought back just a little while ago, God delivered them through the Red Sea from Pharaoh and from Egypt. He'd given them manna and quail, and now they're a little bit thirsty. And that's what I come to talk to you today about. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for more of God? Are you thirsty for the things of God? Now, in verse 6, God told Moses to go out and take your rod, the one that he struck the Nile with and it turned to blood, the one he threw down before Pharaoh and the serpents and all the snakes, and his rod turned into a snake and ate the other snakes up. He said, take that rod and go out and hit that rock. Now, there's a key word right there, hit the rock. Who is the rock? He's not one of your favorite TV movie stars now. But the rock is Jesus. The rock was Jesus in the Old Testament. The rock is Jesus in the New Testament. The rock was Jesus before creation. The rock will be Jesus forever and evermore. So God uses the Old Testament to give us a foreshadow or a picture of what's going to happen in the New Testament. So he's saying, take that rod and hit the rock. And what did they do to Jesus? They hung him on the cross. And then a soldier came along and took a spear and stabbed him into the side. And it said a sudden flow of water and blood came. And what was the purpose of that? So we would have the Holy Spirit, that we could drink of the Spirit. We could drink from God the living water that he has for us. So even way back then, God was using a word picture, even when the Israelites were disobedient, of what God had in store for us in the future. So God's asking you and I today, are you thirsty? Do you want more of God? You know, I was a little bit tired this morning. And, you know, I've done my work for preparation and everything, and some days you just don't feel like you got it. Maybe because I lost an hour of sleep last night or whatever it may be. But yet, when my wife was worshiping God, I could feel the Spirit of God come on her. And Jesus showed up and gave me a spark, and I'm ready to go, Chris. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But between the message that God gave her and between what our worship leader was saying, Matt, I'm just going to reiterate what they've already spoke to you today. But that's a good thing, because God's telling us that we're right on track for what he wants to say to you. All right, here we go. Let's go back to our text, Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and on your labor that does not satisfy? He said, listen to me. God has sent me here to speak to you today, and he wants you to listen to me, not because it's me, but because it's the voice of Almighty God, and he wants to speak to you today because he has something for you to hear today. He said, why do you labor, and why do you spend, and why do you do all that you can do that it does not satisfy your thirst? Only God can do that. You know, it says there, don't spend your money on this. Come to me. You don't have any money. It says you don't have any money. Well, how can you buy something if you don't have money? Well, that means God's giving it to you for free, except for one thing. God requires one thing of us to have this thirst quenched, and that is what? Your heart. God wants your heart. If he has your heart, he has everything. And that's what God's speaking to us today. Whether you're a saint and you've crossed over the line into salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition and you're just far away from God, and you have this longing and this void in your heart, and you're thinking, how can I get to that? God says, it's not going to cost you anything, but I need your heart today. Before we leave here today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. That's what God has sent me here to do today. He said, listen to me. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. God's saying, not only do you have to listen, when you listen, you got to hear. If you ever talk to somebody, my wife will testify to this. She'll talk to me sometimes. Are you listening to me? And see, I've had this excuse. Well, I'm not hearing real well today, dear. Well, you got hearing aids in now, Buster. You can hear what I'm saying. Yeah, and all the women said amen. But it's not only hearing and not only listening, but you got to hear it, but you got to put it into practice. God wants you to put into practice what I'm talking to you about today. All right, point number one. The woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse 7 through 15, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw the water with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." I got a little bottle of water here. You drink that, it'll satisfy you for a little while, but again, you're going to get thirsty. But Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks the water that will, you will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." Now we see that Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman, which they didn't associate with them, because their hearts weren't right with God and a lot of history. But Jesus goes on to talk to her and answer this question. He said, "Go and get your husband." And she said, "Well, I'm not married." He says, "You're right, you're not married. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now, you're not married to." And she said, "Well, you know, when the Messiah comes, or when the Christ comes, he'll straighten all this stuff out. He'll tell us where we need to worship and everything that we need to do." And Jesus said to her, "You're looking at him. Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Messiah that you're hoping for and you're thinking of and you've been dreaming of, is standing right before you talking to you, and I can give you the living water that you will not have to ever thirst again." And may I suggest to you today, it's the same thing again. Jesus is in this building today because he said, "Where two or three are gathered together, I'll be there with you." He said, "I'm here and I can satisfy your thirst." He's already talking to you that today. If you stop running away from him and start running to him, he'll fix your problems. Matter of fact, he'll fix you. Come on, give him a praise offering. And I can testify that because God came to me and fixed me. It's not something I just read in the book. It's something I experienced. God set me free from my sins, and he can set you free from your sins today. So we know that this woman was at the well, and Jesus was talking to her about streams of living water that you would never get thirsty again. But the Bible says you must be born again to fill that void in your heart. Every person, every man, woman, and child is born with this void in your heart. No matter what you put in there, whether you put booze, alcohol, money, whatever it is, whatever desire it is that you think will fix that or fill your life up, nothing will fill that void except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing but Jesus. And the Bible says you must be born again to fill that void. And that's what God's talking to us about today. Some of us are thirsty in here and you just don't know what to do. You don't know what can fix my problems or fix my life. And that's the people that haven't accepted Christ, or if you're in a backslidden condition, you haven't been with Jesus for a while. But also, I'm talking to the Christians today. Some of us, we just feel defeated today. See, this Christianity thing is, you know, I'm just struggling with it. I'm hurting today, and things are just not going the way I thought Christianity would have went. But we've heard a message already from God this morning. He said, stop running away from me and start running to me. Get your Bibles out and read your Bibles and read your Bibles and read your Bibles. Get down on your knees before Almighty God and start talking to Him and have a relationship with Him. Come to church as often as possible. God said, I'm here. I'm here waiting on you. I'm knocking on the door. Come in and talk to me. I want to make things right with you. I want things to be better for you. All right, back to our text. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What does it say? April showers bring May flowers. That's what it's saying. But pay attention to verse 11 here. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I'm going to say that one again. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose what I sent it. And we'll get back to that one in a minute. But in verse 6, it said to seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. We talked a little bit about this in Bible study yesterday, that God is not always going to be found. God is here tugging on some people's hearts today, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Terrorists might drop a bomb on you. Your heart might just give out. An asteroid might come and just smash you to smithereens. You don't know. It's happened before. So the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that you need to get right with God. Some of you, this is your day of destiny when you're going to give your heart to Christ and to change you forevermore. You're not here by accident. God has drawn you. You're here because God wants to save your soul. And it says, if the wicked will forsake their ways and unrighteous their thoughts and turn to the Lord, he will have mercy on them and he will pardon them. Wow. You know, what if you were sent to jail today for just something? You just did something stupid and you had to go to jail. But you had the opportunity, before they shut the door on you, say, here. Here's your pardon. You can go. You're free. Not only are you free, but I'm going to forget about all the bad things you've ever done in your life. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. And we're going to start all over. But this time, I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to talk with you, and I'm going to help you along the way. I'm Almighty God. I can do that, and I will do that, and I'll help you. Stop running from me and run to me. For my ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. It's heaven and earth, for heavens are higher than the earth, and so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, always before, you know, if you have a debt, you have to pay for it, don't you? You know, if we get the charge card out, and we, you know, I like to have that new suit for Easter, and whatever it may be, we have to pay that debt, don't we? That's just how we think about it. That's how our system works. But that's not how God's system works. He said, when you do bad things and you fall short, I've already paid the price. I paid it on Mount Calvary with my blood. When you signed the covenant with me, I signed it in my blood, and all you have to do is sign it with your heart. God loves you, and he said, I'll free you from your sins, and I'll take care of you. And as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. Again, April showers bring May flowers. We know how that works. We're in a farming community, and we know how that works. But God's saying the same thing. He's setting up verse 11. So as my word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. Point number two. The woman with the issue of blood. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43 and 48, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know the power is going out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell to his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. We'll hit this last line there for the ladies first, because what God and Jesus is saying there, because he called her daughter and not woman, that made her a daughter of Abraham. Just like a son of Abraham, he was saying to the ladies, he said, you're just as equal as the men in this kingdom. And because your faith, because you trusted and believed that I was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace. So ladies, you're not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus just set the record straight there. Give him a hand. Praise God. All right. This woman had been and had an issue of blood for 12 years that she suffered with this. 12 years she had suffered. The Bible says she spent all of her money and all that she had with doctors to try to get straightened out, and nobody could heal her. You know that she shouldn't even have been out with the crowd that day, because the Bible says that she could have been stoned because she was unclean, and she should have been out there shouting, unclean, unclean, any place that she went. But she had a purpose in her heart. She'd had enough. She said, today is the day that I'm going to get healed, because I've had enough, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my healing. I know that Jesus is coming this way today, and I'm going out, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And when I do that, I'm going to receive my healing. Now, why did she say that? What did I say before in that scripture? That God's word would go forth and it would accomplish her purpose. Someplace, somewhere in her life, either in a church service or a Bible study or a Sunday school class or someplace, somebody read her the book of Malachi when it said the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness is spelled S-U-N, but it's just another glorious name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knew that she could stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, that when Jesus came, when the Messiah came, and she would touch the hem of his garment, those wings on that would heal her. Just like God's saying to us today, come to me and stand on my Word. I have healing for you. I have restoration for you. I have all things. I have salvation for you. You need to stand on the Word of God. But she made up in her mind that day that I'm going to have to run through the crowd. I'll crawl through the crowd. I'll be like a fullback running through the line to get the touchdown. But whatever it takes, I'm getting to Jesus today. And I made up my mind, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Whatever it takes to get what I need from Jesus today. Are you thirsty for Jesus? Some of you are sitting here and you got that void in your heart and you don't know what's going to cure that thirst. Cold beer won't do it. Diet Coca-Cola won't do it. Lemonade won't do it. Women won't do it. Men won't do it. Money won't do it. Only Jesus can fill that void. Only Jesus can satisfy that thirst that you have in your heart today. Let me speak to the Christian who's struggling again today. God's saying, run to me. Don't run away from me. Yes, you may have fallen short. Maybe you struggled in your Christianity. We'll get in the boat with the rest of us. But we found out the secret is if we'll run to Jesus and not away from him, he'll touch us. He can fix any problem that you have. He can fix any problem that I have. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the saving business. God loves you and he wants to help you. You're his child. In the Old Testament, we read an account where Jacob was wrestling with God all night long. He said, God, I'm not going to let go of you. God even changed his name from Jacob, which was the deceiver, to Israel, which is the nation of Israel, the deliverance. He said, I'm not letting go of you, God, until you touch me, until you bless me. Some of us need to get a hold of God and say, God, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go, God, until you give me what I need. I'm not going to let go until you touch me, God, and take this burden off of me, whatever it may be, whatever you're struggling with today. God said, get a hold of me. I'll take care of you. He finally asked God, said, God, bless me. He said, what's your name? He said, why do you ask me that? He's telling him, you already know who it was. He already knew who he's wrestling with, God. He said, I saw God face to face and I'm still alive. God wants to have a meeting. God wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us to touch us and bless us. But are you thirsty for him today? Are you thirsty for the kingdom of God? Don't run from him, run to him. All right, back to our text. Isaiah 55:12-13. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. What it's saying here is when we run to God and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said, I'll promise you this. You'll go out with joy. You'll have joy in your heart. You'll be led forth in peace. But I always had a hard problem with the next sentence. It said, the mountains and hills will burst forth into song before you and all the trees will clap their hands. I'm saying, how's that possible? How can the mountains burst forth in joy and how can trees clap their hands? Of course, you are all Bible scholars. I should be listening to you. You could teach me this today. But what it's saying is when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, people are going to notice that you're different. What's wrong with that person? They don't cuss and they don't holler and they're always loving on me and they're always trying to help me. There's something different about them. It's because Jesus is in your heart. Even when you have Jesus in your heart, it's going to affect very nature. It's going to affect the world in all kinds of ways because people are going to see Jesus in you. And God said, I'll send you forth with peace and joy and happiness in your heart that's different from the world. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. And God's going to have something different about you and people are going to recognize that. And it's even going to affect nature. You'll be different. Instead of the thorn bush will grow juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God said, this is my sign to the rest of the world. When I come into people's hearts, I will change them and make them different. And so will the rest of the world will see that they're different. They'll know that you're different because of the way you walk and the way that you talk and the way that you act. Point number three. The river and the altar in the temple altar. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3-6, As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led him through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led him through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led him through water that was up to his waist. He measured off another 1,000, and by now it was a river that it could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. I saw this on Facebook the other day, and there's a lot of goofy stuff on Facebook, but there's also a lot of good stuff. Somebody had written on there and said, "Do you need the Holy Spirit to get to heaven?" Somebody in the last part said, "Honey, you need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart." You know, we need the Spirit of God in us just to get through our day-to-day operation and whatever we're doing. That's why Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble. Just focus on the day and focus on me, and we'll get through this." But he's talking about this river that's going to flow from the altar. And it's going to happen after they rebuild the temple. There's going to come a day when this fresh water, this river, flows out from the temple. And it's going to flow down to the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. You know, if you jumped into the Dead Sea now, there's so much salt in it, you wouldn't sink. You just float around. Don't need a life jacket. You just float around. But the problem is there's so much salt in it, nothing lives in it. But God says, "I'm going to bring restoration to that someday. When this water flows out from the temple, it's going to turn that into fresh water. It's going to be full of fish and wildlife and aquatic life and all these things." Because God is always into a restoration mode for us. If we'll just run to him. God wants to restore you. God wants to touch you. God wants to bless you. God wants to do great and mighty things in your life. Now, the other picture that we see here. You know, when I go fishing in the river. You know, when I'm wading in water up to ankle deep. That's not too bad. We can handle that. When it gets up to my knees, that's fine. Even when it gets up to my waist, that's fine. But after that, I need a jacket, a life jacket on, because I could slip and fall, and poor Trina would be without me. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? So when they're looking over this river, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. I had a dream one time, and I saw this river, and it was just roaring down. It was about the size of the Potomac River, and I knew that what God had for me was on the other side. It was where my promised land was, what God had in store for me. But it wasn't time yet. I hadn't gone through the process yet. God had to grow me up and apparently grow me out a little bit. But I'm just thinking, how can I get across there? How can I get to where I know that God has prepared for me? How am I going to get there? How is that going to happen? Well, number one, when we get into the deep water, that's where we belong. Even though when we get to the deep water, we got to swim or we're going to sink or we're going to drown. But when we get to the deep water, then what? We're dependent on God, aren't we? God has to come to the rescue. God has to help us. See, when we start depending on ourselves and all that we can do and what I know and what I can say and what I can accomplish, not much is going to get done. We need the Spirit of God to be on us and to lead and guide us and show us what He wants us to do. How about at the Red Sea? The Israelites have come to the Red Sea. They got Pharaoh's army in the back of them and the Red Sea in front of them. They just escaped from Israel, from Egypt, and headed to the promised land. But then God shows up and said, "Moses, lift up that staff and part the Red Sea." God had to do it, didn't he? Then what about when they came to the promised land after struggling for 40 years in the wilderness, around and around and around the mountain they had to go? God waited till the Jordan River was at flood stage. He said, priests, get a hold of the Ark of the Covenant, step into the water. And then all of a sudden, this Holy Ghost force field came down and just blocked up the Jordan River and backed it up. And they all went across on dry land. So what am I saying to you? They need to depend on God. We need to depend on God to get to heaven. We need to depend on God to get through the day. We need to depend on God to get through tomorrow. We might need to depend on God to get out of the parking lot. But that's a good thing. Our dependence on God is everything. But for us to be dependent on God, we just can't come around and do our own thing. We have to be thirsty for the Word of God. We have to be thirsty to talk to God. We have to be thirsty to depend on God. You have to have want more of God. That's never going to go away. I'm 62 years old now. Oh, I depend on God more today than I ever have, and I want more. I'm not ready to retire. As far as I'm concerned, my ministry's just getting started. Get on my face before God. I need the anointing of God. You think I just came up with this message on my own? I would never do that. I'd be afraid to do that. I really would. I depend upon God, and I'm thirsty for God, and I'm thirsty for God for you too. I pray for you this week that God would come and touch you and minister to you. Heal people, save people, whatever it takes, God, come and touch them. Come like a pent-up flood. Praise team, come on. Here's my conclusion. Repent or perish. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too all will perish. Were those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." And here's the definition of repentance. It's not only telling God, "I'm sorry," but we have to turn and walk away from our sins. We have to make that conscious effort to turn and walk away from our sins. It's not just saying a prayer in church and go back out and live just like we always did. No, God has to come. And when we truly ask God into our heart, He said, "I'll give you a new heart. I'll change you. I'll make you into a new creature. You won't think like you used to do, and you won't talk like you used to do, and you won't walk like you used to do." Do we after Jesus? Repent or perish. It's your choice today. We accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord today. A lot of people want Jesus to be their Savior, but they don't want Him to be Lord, and you can't have it. If He's your Savior, He's got to be your Lord too. God will give you the power to turn from your sins. When He died on the cross on Mount Calvary for your sins and mine, He said, "It is finished." Are you thirsty for the kingdom of God today? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. It's a sacred moment. Nobody looking around. We're going to ask you in a moment here. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you know that you're in a backslidden condition, you're far away from God, and you want to say, "God, I want to come back." God's standing here today with His arms wide open. I'm not going to call people white. I'm not going to embarrass you. But every head bowed and every eye closed. You're saying today, "Preacher, I'd like to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Would you just raise your hand just for a moment? I see one, two, three. Anybody else? We'll wait just a moment. Anybody else? Four. Anybody else? One more moment. All right, you can put your hands down. God saw your hands. And we're going to say a prayer together. And the saints, you're going to help me out here. Got four people who want to cross over from death to life today. They want to accept Jesus. Yeah, give the Lord a clap offering. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everybody pray this way. Just repeat this prayer. If you really mean this prayer in your heart today, God will accept you into His kingdom forever and evermore. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. God, take your rightful seat on the throne of my heart. I proclaim you my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for saving me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tell somebody today. The Bible says tell somebody today that you've accepted Christ. Get your Bibles out and read them. Come to church as often as possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, for the rest of us, for all of us, because they're Christians now too, aren't they? Amen. We're going to open the altars up. I'll be here to pray with you. Be other people here to pray with you, whatever your need may be. Maybe you have a broken heart today. Maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you need healing. Whatever it is. What did God say to us? Run to me, not away from me. Come. Come. Are you thirsty today? The altars are open. Come. Come to the Lord Jesus today. Amen.